Hi, so welcome back to another episode of my podcast. This is a continuation from the previous podcast about tantrums. A lot of parents had asked me about how to handle tantrums in public. So this is actually a content from a workshop that I conducted with my principal in my school. And a lot more I've added based on the questions that's been asked in the inbox. So here we go. The second episode is going to be about basically how do you prepare your child to avoid a tantrum. So a lot of parents have asked, especially after the pandemic, you will be going back to physical environments like malls or theaters or shopping complexes or even the doctor's place for that matter. Obviously, the children are going to feel a little odd because they've been consistently inside the comfort of their houses or however whatever place they are they've really been comfortable for that matter. Even for adults, I think it's going to be a real challenge to adapt back to what used to be the normal, right? So in this case, the best way to avoid such situations with the child, let's take an example of a child who was born during the corona pandemic, who's conceived and delivered probably in the year of 2019-20. Those children are going to go back to the physical environment for the first time, hopefully mask-free soon, I hope so. I mean, if all of us get vaccinated and everything gets well, yes. Even otherwise, we need to be really cautious and prepared for this whole scenario. So the very first thing that I would strongly suggest in everybody doing this is to prepare. Be it an adult or a toddler or a young child or an adolescent, we all prepare ourselves in advance. That's the great way to start. For instance, if your school or your child's school is starting soon, like you have in most countries, they have already resumed. But I think in India, we are still a little apprehensive and uncertain about this whole thing. So let's assume it's starting in September. So I would suggest, and you get a definite date about it, let's assume that happens positively in an optimistic way. So we start preparing the child by the month of August itself. You know, I would say July, but July, I think obviously you guys are parents, so you have a lot more to do in life, I do understand. And in addition to your parental responsibilities, you have a lot more going on in your life. That's a given, I do get it. So let's assume by early August or late July, we start preparing the child about the school environment. If your child is just going back to the same school he's already been enrolled, you can probably talk about the past events or instances. You know, you're going to start going to school. Why don't you wake up at this time? Why don't you go to bed at this time? And have a particular lunch hour, you know. I hope and pray most of you are already following this, because a lot of schools do function from 8 to 1 or 8 to 3 depending on the class level your children are in. But if that's not the case, your child is a child who sleeps in between sessions or classes, I literally beg you not to do this, because your child is going to carry forward the same thing again to school. When he is not allowed to sleep, I mean, if he's a child or she's a child who's old enough to know he can't or she can't sleep in class, obviously the child is going to get moody and the instance of a tantrum is so high there. And obviously the teacher or the parent, we don't know why is it happening at that point of time. It's because he's been so used to getting that nap or that, you know, time off from studies at that point. It's become almost like a habit in your child. And when it's not happening, obviously the child is going to get frustrated and it's going to be a tantrum. So the very first thing to avoid a tantrum in this situation is to practice a routine every day, literally, not irrespective of it's a holiday or like a vacation. At least around that time, make sure your child wakes up. I know a lot of children wake up at, even adults wake up phenomenally late because it's a weekend or a Sunday. Because it's a Sunday, you can wake up at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, unless your child is sick or he's not been getting good sleep the previous night because something's not been good, like there was no power in the house the previous night, then probably it can be an exception. If not, it can't be an exception. So please, please take care your child follows a routine. The very first thing that has to be taught to a child to adapt, to avoid a tantrum in the near future. That is the first and foremost thing that we need to do. The second thing you can try is to establish rules. We often have this saying, you know, when you deal with a child, you need to be firm. You don't have to be necessarily strict, but you need to be firm. There's a world of difference between these two, if you ask me, because when you're being firm, you're still holding on to your principle. You're still holding on to whatever you said and not getting shaken up by the sentiments and the feelings that are thrown at you by your child. But when you're strict, you're being completely indifferent towards the whole situation. So there's a lot of difference. So we have to be, as parents or teachers or caretakers, we need to be firm with the child and say that that particular thing is not allowed in our house, is not permitted in the house. This, you need to or you must do this when it comes to the child beating someone, hitting someone or hurting someone. You don't have to do a lot of exercise around this. You just hold your child, you know, a little, go down to their eye level. Just hold them with your hands, look into their eyes and say firmly, that hurts. Can you not do that? So then we need to explain it at a later point of time why beating or hurting someone is wrong. So that can be a different scenario altogether. But we need to give them the warning then and there when it comes to hurting somebody or harming somebody in the household for that matter. It's not funny. It's not a great pride on your part to do that. No, definitely not. Hitting someone, even if it's hurting or not, hitting someone is wrong. So try and establish these ground rules very firmly with your child, even before you send them back to school or even they resume back their classes. Please make sure you do all this in advance. The third thing is to show appropriate behavior. Like, you can be expressive, you can emote, you can laugh, cry in front of your child. It's okay to do that in front of your child. So the child knows that Amma is doing it, Appa is doing it, or the grandparent is doing it, I can also do it. This makes them a lot more emotionally expressive and intelligent at the same time. And one other very important aspect of, you know, avoiding a tantrum is basically to cut down these negative behaviors. When I say negative behaviors, with respect to the age of the child, most children have the behavior of spitting. A lot of children in their 8 or 10 or even below that age, if you look at the age group, say 3 to 5 year olds, you know, they learn to spit and they look at spitting as a skill. So they want to show that as a skill, you know. It's not, they don't know it's inappropriate. They don't know it's wrong. They don't know it's insulting. None of these labels or tags are attached to spitting according to the child. According to the child, he's learned something. He has to show it to your parent or your teacher or your classmates. So he doesn't know spitting is wrong. So when we are curbing a behavior like this, which the child doesn't know is inappropriate, you can either read a book or a story which says this is not an appropriate behavior. It's not hygienic. It's dirty because it's coming out of your mouth. Something like that on the health manner. Or try and do something behavioral. Like I have an example for this. In school, we often come across a situation when children spit on each other, you know. I don't know if most of you are aware, but we do have the situation happening at least once in 3 or 4 years. This is a recurring thing. So what we always do is that the teacher or the teacher assistant or the person who's in charge of the cleaning, they take the child to the most farthest bathroom or the basin, you know, that is very, very away from the classroom. They should require at least like a straight 3 or 5 minute walk and go to that area and ask the child to spit all he wants, all she wants. Once they are done spitting, we tell them firmly, are you done? Because when you go back to class, you can't spit. Finish off all your spitting and come back. I'll wait for you. And this needs to be done consistently. I know it sounds tiring, but you are reinforcing a behavior that is coming a long, long, long way. So please don't get tired. So take your child to the most faraway bathroom or your sink in your house. do it every time they spit. Don't react, don't yell at them. I know it's very difficult to control your feelings and emotions at that point, but don't lose your cool. Just get up. Ask the child to also get up with you. Hold his hand or hold her hand. Take her to the most faraway place in your house. Ask them to spit all they want and then they can come back. By doing this, we are breaking them from what they are doing. For instance, they are coloring or listening to a story or even playing a game. We are breaking that activity, and children hate it because children want closure always. So when you start doing it, the child will stop doing the spitting behavior altogether. So a behavioral consequence is always much more effective with a toddler or a pre-primary kid when you compare to other age groups, because you show them there is a consequence. If you do this, this will definitely happen. Once you say it verbally once or twice, it's much less effective than showing them behaviorally. This again, I'm coming back to very important topic. Please never harm the child. Don't give a corporal punishment. I'm sure one of the parents are trying to do it. Now, if the teachers are trying to harm the child intentionally. So, but then this is just by showing them the appropriate behavior like a model. You know, you have to follow what I'm doing. This is how it's appropriately done. That kind of a thing. This happens only when the child is behaving inappropriately, when the child is having a negative behavior, not otherwise. The child, obviously, the child needs a lot of space to grow. He needs a lot of information. She needs a lot of exploration, for that matter. That should be given to the child. So always prepare your child before they go back to school or anywhere, even for a wedding. If you're taking your child to a quarantine wedding or somewhere, please prepare them in advance. Tell them the minutest detail that you can give them. Then take them and go. Also carry a bag of their favorite snack, favorite toy, favorite book if they are into reading, or even their favorite towel. If they have any, they want to sleep somewhere, they want to take a nap somewhere. So please be prepared with all these favorite things of your child when you go with them out. And tell them at least a week in advance, prepare them. If it's an emergency, for that matter, you can obviously say, can you please stay with somebody till I come back? It'll only take 2 hours for me to come back. So prepare them even at that level and go. So the child knows that, or keep an alarm in their phone and say that before this alarm goes on, Amma will be back, Dad will be back. So don't worry. So, and keep up your timing also. That's very important. So these kind of small lifestyle changes can actually have a great impact on our parenting. So I hope you guys found this helpful. I'll see you next week.